All right, I want to welcome everybody to the Member Solutions teleseminar. Today we're going to be discussing the new student info pack, and there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, in regards to, you know, what should be given out, also whether it's important or not important to do that. And, you know, let me just kind of clarify some things and kind of go through some things on what we do and you know, how important it really is. Your phone call or you know, when you're setting up the appointment, your initial contact is way more important than your new student welcome info pack or whatever you want to call it. That's the first line of communication that an individual has with you in your school. The second is when they come in and they actually sit down with you. Obviously, your presentation at the consultation is something that has to be really, really solid. The next thing that backs that up, backs up your phone call and backs up the consultation, is that new student info pack. And we're going to go through there. I'll show you what I put in mind. In this teleseminar, I'm not going to give you all the content, but I will tell you how I came up with the content. It's about 50-50. I'm going to give you about half, and I'm going to make you work for the other half. So just to prepare you for that. Now, let's go up to the second page of the teleseminar note sheets. And if you haven't downloaded them yet, they're on the right-hand side of the bottom there where it says Get Notes. Make sure that you download that and so that you can follow along. As you can see in number one on page two, the overview, let me kind of go through. These are the seven things that are inside of my new student welcome pack. The first is Keith Hafner's book on how to build rock-solid kids. The second is what we call 100 Ways to Praise Your Child. The third is Dwayne's profile, which is my profile. The fourth is the confidential fact sheet. The fifth is Dwayne's TriStar Martial Arts Academy teaching staff. The sixth is your child harassed by bullies? And I'll explain a little bit later what all these are. And then the seventh is what we use as the powerful words. Whatever character development system, I think it's vitally important that you have one and that you implement it in there as well so they see up from the very front what they're going to be getting. Now, with that being said, all of these are printed, you know, in just on a sheet of paper. So, for instance, the 100 Ways to Praise Your Child is a black and white printing. And I put that on a yellow sheet of paper. And so it's front and back side, and it's on yellow. The harassing is your child harassed by bullies, the number six, I put that on a red one. And then my profile, Dwayne's profile, and the confidential fact sheet, that's on a white sheet of paper. And then the Dwayne's TriStar Martial Arts Academy teaching staff. That one is the only one that is color. I do print that out on color. The color is just basically the headline and the subheadline, and then everything else is black and white. But that actually is one that I will give you, and so that you can see how it's worded and everything. And then last is the whatever character development system that you're using. You know, that one is black and white for us and on a white sheet of paper. So with that being said, let's move into the first thing that's inside of there. On number two, you see where I've written down there Hafner's book, How to Build Rock-Solid Kids. And let me just kind of go through, and you can write down in your notes on, you know, whatever you want, you know, from learning on, you know, what the book has to offer. I'm not a salesman for his book, although I think it's really, really, it really fits the model that we're trying to follow. So if it doesn't fit your model, then that's okay. But the book is geared mainly towards parents who have children. Now, that's not to say that I don't give the book away to adults, because most of the adults that come into the program do have children. And if they're not, if they're interested in martial arts for themselves, of course we want to persuade them to get their children in as well. So some of the things that it goes through is, it teaches about positive outlook, self-control, focus, respect, confidence, honesty, courage, physical fitness, responsibility, and also perseverance. And there's a couple other chapters inside there as well. But let me just, read something, when it comes to, self-control. The subheadline underneath that in the table of contents says your child learns their self-image or her own actions and words and emotions and how to control impulses or impulse behavior. One is focus. You know, one of the chapters is on focus and the ability to pay attention, blocking out distractions, the skill of listening, and how to pursue goals without losing direction. And the way that he words things is just phenomenal. I mean, responsibility, the chapter on responsibility, the headline for that is Teach Your Child to Handle Responsibility, Make the Connection Between Handling Responsibility and Earning Privileges. And after my consultation with the individuals and I send them home with a book, let me just say that, you know, this – I think I spend like $7 on each book is what it comes out to be, I think. And what I'm utilizing is I'm utilizing the law of reciprocity. As they come in for their very first visit, I'm going to give them something in hopes that they feel compelled to give me something in return, and that's, you know, their child as a student or themselves as an adult as a student. It is ethical. It's an ethical bribe, basically, giving them something in hopes that you're going to get something in return. We do give martial arts uniforms as well, but that's a little bit down the roadway to success. And what I mean by that is the path that we follow. I give them their karate uniform on their second intro, but when they first come in for the consultation, this is one of the things that I give them, you know, is Keith Apert's book, How to Build Rock Solid Kids, for the law of reciprocity. Plus, it also backs up things that I'm already teaching in my program. And then the other thing is at the end of each chapter, there are exercises in the book that the parents can do in order to reinforce the positive outlook that they're teaching their child or the self-control that they're teaching their child or focus and respect. And those of you that teach children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The child is, you know, if there's a problem child, we know that more often than not, not all the time, but more often than not, especially if they're a young child, it's the parents that are the problem. So if we can give them a book to help educate them on how to deal with these situations the right way so that they don't have to call a super nanny to take care of it, then we look like the hero in their eyes. So that's one of the things that I give is Keith Hafner's book. The second on the next page, page number three, is 100 Ways to Praise Your Child. Now, the way that, and again, I print that on a yellow piece of paper, front and back, and it says from the desk of Dwayne Brummett. It's got my little picture on there, and then it says, you know, Karate Master Dwayne Brummett presents 100 ways to positively reinforce your child. And the intro is, you know, there is a language of encouragement, a language that can be used to raise your child's self-esteem. And unfortunately, many people lack this important language. Use these phrases as often as possible to build your child's confidence. Now, there's two important reminders. Reminder number one, remember to praise approximate success. Don't wait for your child to hit the bullseye or get it perfect before you provide encouragement. And two, when possible, praise your child publicly. And then it goes through underneath and it lists 100 ways to praise your child. Now, if you don't, you could go into probably any teacher's supply store, a school supply store, and get like a poster that has different ways to praise, or you can look online for stuff like that. It's real simple. I have 1 through 100. You know, number one is excellent work. Number two is I'm so proud of you. Number 26, will you show us that again? You know, let me look here. Number 70 is bravo. Number 71 is take a bow. Number 81 is now you're getting it. So these aren't anything that are new to you as a martial arts instructor. In fact, most of these you're already using, already. So you could probably come up with 100 or at least a close to 100. You don't have to have 100. It could be 50 ways to praise your child. It doesn't matter the number. But you give these to parents. The other thing alongside of that, just as a side note, this is a great tool that I've used with my instructors. And so, you know, for 1 month, because we always get in a rut, and I don't know about you, but we always get in a rut and saying the same thing, good job, great job, or that was good, or that looks cool, or what have you. But what I've done with my instructors is, you know, we'll take the 100 ways to praise your child, and they have to pick three different ones 1 month and work on just saying those three. and then the next month switch it up. So that's just as an aside note that you can use that to train your instructors as well, so that they're not always saying the same thing, good job, or that's excellent, or, you know, they can come up with different things. And you could, with your instructors, you could even sit them down at a meeting and make it one of their things. You know, here's the delegation part that I like, is have them write down 10 different ways to praise somebody, 10 different phrases that you can use to praise somebody. If you got 10 instructors, there's your 100. You know, if you have 5 instructors, there's your 50. And so then you only have to come up with 50 more. So 100 ways to praise your child is what I put in there. The next one, number 4 here, is my profile. Now, what you want to do with that, that would be your profile. Now, listen, when you write down your profile, you want to write a brief intro about yourself, but not about, you know, all the tournaments that you've won or anything like that, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you my profile, okay? And so that way you can kind of get a gist or an understanding of what I'm talking about here. At the top it says, Profile of Dwayne K. Brummett Jr., and then it says, Karate Master Dwayne Brummett is an enthusiastic, high-energy person. He is articulate, enthusiastic, and has a knack for simplifying his concepts. Dwayne is a martial arts master, consultant, and lecturer. He is frequently called upon to speak on a variety of topics, both in and out of the martial arts industry. Many years ago, Master Brummett began to observe that learning martial arts would sometimes develop high self-esteem skills, self-confidence, self-discipline, and courage, and also persistence. At that time, this improvement seemed to happen accidentally, rather than by design. Soon after, Master Brummett began to ask the question, what if we made these vital self-esteem skills the goal of our martial arts instruction? Over the next few years, Master Brummett refined and improved his strategies and developed a system of teaching these strategies to martial arts teachers. Since then, Dwayne Brummett's work in the area of martial arts instruction has helped hundreds of people live empowered lives. And then I go through some bullet points about me. Dwayne is a co-founder and owner of one of Illinois' largest martial arts schools, Dwayne Brummett's TriStar Martial Arts Academy, located in Bradley, Illinois. He was elected to the Christian Martial Arts Association Board of Directors and the Child's Program Director in 1999. He was elected Vice President of the Christian Martial Arts Association Board of Directors in 2003. Dwayne has been the subject of numerous newspaper and magazine articles. He holds a 5th-degree black belt in the Korean style of Tung Soo Do. He has been a tactical master instructor for CDT and corporate for personal protection instruction, and also child safety instruction. He has also had the privilege of teaching the United States Federal Marshals. He and his wife, Debbie, have been married since 2002. They have 3 children, Taylor, age 18, Drew, age 14, one of his first-degree black belts, and Keegan, age 5. The Brummetts are active in their church and in community affairs. Dwayne also has a Sunday school class that he teaches at the church that he attends. He was the guest speaker for all the Home Run Against Drug programs taught to second and third graders in our community through 2002 to 2005. Today, Master Brummett spends his time teaching his staff, students, and speaking to area schools about the ability of being what he calls a number 10. And I took that concept, the number 10 concept, from Tom Callis. So I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. Master Brummett also strives to empower parents to raise children with high self-esteem. And so basically that's my profile. What I would encourage you to do is write a brief intro about, you know, your concepts, the things that you believe in for your school. Write down a little bit about, you know, when your school started, just some things that you have accomplished that would directly relate someone to go, yeah, he knows what he's doing with my child, or yeah, he knows how to teach me as an adult. I really personally would shy away from, again, you know, if you've got grand champion trophies and all the other stuff, that's all well and good. But when it comes to selling a program, I don't know how vitally important that is. So just be careful with that one. It would be my recommendation. The next one, on number 5, is the confidential fact sheet. Now, this confidential fact sheet, listen, this is going to be something that you're going to need to come up with on your own. And here's how you're going to do it. Basically, there's about 10 or 11 points that I have on mine. And the idea of the confidential fact sheet is to answer specific questions that would probably already be in the buyer's mind and solve those questions here on this paper. So meaning, number one is, find out what the national average of training in the martial arts is. And you don't have to be specific, but, maybe the national average is 6 months, But then what is your average? And so that you pre-frame them to go, most people at, XYZ school stay for quite a long time. So you're already trying to, push the commitment issue. Number two, when did you open and where are you located? That's pretty simple. Number three, we do teach physical self-defense, but our real objective is what? Most of the individuals that join your school, whether adult or kids, and again, we're talking about traditional martial arts. We're not talking about MMA and stuff like that, but we're talking about traditional martial arts at this point. Most of your individuals that are coming in there aren't because they want to become the next Bruce Lee. That's not their goal. They're not trying to become the next Bruce Lee. They're trying to improve on fitness, or they're trying to improve on self-esteem, or whatever it is. So whatever the philosophy is for your school, that's where I would put it in. We teach physical self-defense, but our real objective is whatever, raising self-esteem or confidence or discipline or whatever. Be a little more elaborate than that. Number four is, how many teachers do you have on the floor at any given time? That's a question that you want to ask on number four, so make sure you write that down. How many teachers do you have on the floor at any given time? Why would that be important? If they know anything about instruction, the parent or what have you, the prospect knows anything about instruction, that's one thing that they're going to be concerned about is, you got 20 kids on the floor, 20 kids on the floor, but how many instructors are you actually going to have there? So maybe you put a ratio. Maybe you put, we have, X number of instructors on the floor at any given time, or, we always keep a ratio of 1 to 8, one instructor per 8 students, or however you want to do that. But that's also something that a thought will be in the mind of the prospect that generally doesn't always get asked. Number five, write this down. How are classes broken down? Okay? How are classes broken down? You want to make sure that you write down, how the classes are broken down. That's going to be important for you. Also important for them. Number six, I'm going to read you what my number six is. So I'm going to give you this one, okay? Number six is about the belt ranking structure and what have you, but it says students at Dwayne Brumman's TriStar Martial Arts Academy are promoted to a new belt level every 3 months. The belt colors are, and I go through the belt colors, all right? And then at the end, I just say, the belt system is a powerful confidence builder for students of all ages. All right, so let me say that again. Students at Dwayne Brumman's TriStar Martial Arts Academy are promoted to a new belt level every 3 months. The belt order is, and you put your belt order in there. And at the end, I say the belt system is a powerful confidence builder for students of all ages. Or I should say confidence, not confident builder, confidence builder for students of all ages. Let's move to number seven. Number seven is tell them that anyone can do this. It doesn't, be a little more specific than that, but it doesn't matter about age. It doesn't matter about ability. Because, some adults will be interested and they think they want to do it, and then in the back of their mind, once they get home, they're thinking, can I really do this? Well, maybe put the average age of adults in there. Maybe it's, your average age is 30 to 60 for adults. And that was a pretty wide range, but that'll definitely hit a lot of people. People with little to no experience can do it, those type of things. So that way they feel empowered that, okay, maybe I really can do this. Number eight, say something that would encourage adults or parents to begin the program. So maybe this is a parent who is signing their child up, and they read this and they go, wow, you know, I didn't realize that parents do this too. And in fact, you know, most of the you know, you could even write, you know, something like most of the parents or most of the children in our school have parents training with them or training also or something like that. But that way you can kind of pre-frame them to maybe get them on board as well. All right, next one. Say something that would persuade adults that are interested in classes who have kids to enroll them into the program as well. So if it's a, you know, if it's an adult who, you know, has a kid that, you know, the, or the, it's an adult that has a kid and, you know, the, you want to try to get them involved into the program. Okay, so like, you know, many of your school students have adults that have kids training or something like that. The next one I'm going to go ahead and give you, and I'll go ahead and read it. But in most martial arts programs, and this is true for my school, I don't know if it would be true for yours, but you may want to just kind of reword it and kind of rework it. But in most martial arts programs, the teachers that teach martial arts, they teach it as a hobby. You know, they work a different job during the day, and they teach martial arts in the evening as a hobby. But at Duane Brummett's TriStar Martial Arts Academy, teachers teach martial arts full time. Martial arts instruction is their profession. And that probably, just that statement there, will probably separate you from a lot of other people, a lot of other schools that are in your area that are just doing it full time. Okay? So that's the confidential fact sheet. Next one is is Duane Brummett's TriStar Martial Arts teaching staff. And I'm going to actually give you this one. If you're on the computer right now, I want you to go to that link there. It's the TriStarKarateBlog.com. So go ahead and get on that right now. Go to TriStarKarateBlog.com. This is our blog. And then what we're going to do is we're going to scroll down to the right-hand side where it says Archives. And then what you can do is click on the word more, and hopefully you see it there on the right-hand side. Click on the word more. And then once you click on that, I want you to go all the way down where it says Archives in the center. I want you to go all the way down to December 2006. December 2006. And then we're going to scroll down, and you see the first one says January newsletter and then the black belt testing there. Right underneath that, it says TriStar teaching staff. And this is the exact verbiage that I use. Now, since this has been posted in 2006, I do have a different head instructor. My head instructor that I had at that time was now in the Marines. But you can kind of just see how it is worded. So I'm going to give you that one for free since it's already up on my blog anyways. And then that way you can take it and rework it. And as you can see, as you go through and you read this, you know, I say in here that, let's see here. You know, that you may know, or yeah, you may have not known this, but the teachers at most martial arts schools, you know, they just teach as a hobby. They work a full-time job, and again, this is kind of reiterating that. And then, but not so at my school, you know, there's one full-time, you know, a teacher besides myself, which is still true. And then I go through and, you know, I say, I know you will enjoy meeting. And then my head instructor at that time was Jeremy Russo. He was age 20. He's a full-time martial arts teacher. And then I go through and give his credentials. And then Chris Bean, age 18, and I go through and I give his credentials. So with it's a great introduction to your staff. They get to know them. I would say, you know, the picture that you see there as well, I would take that picture. And I would, you know, it's not a fancy picture. It's something we did on our own. And I would put that on there as well so they can put names to faces and so they can see, you know, who these individuals are. And then that way, right from the get-go, you are building rapport. So, again, you know, if you're not going there right now, later on, go to TriStarKarateBlog.com. Look under the December 6th in the archives so that you can see that. And then the last one is an article that's written, is your child harassed by bullies? And that's a really huge thing for parents. There's a lot of parents out there, I've found anyways, and so maybe there's just a whole bunch of bullies up north, but that the parents are really concerned about their children being bullied. And part of it may have to do with the media attention about bullies and some of the programs that are already in schools. And so there's some literature that gets, you know, brought home to the parents at the beginning of the school year that kind of prompts this anyways. I'm not going to give you the actual thing that I use, but I'm going to give you a way that you can actually develop this yourself. And there's some creative ways that you can develop this. I think it's vitally important, at least in my area, you know, for kids, but you may not. But anyways, here's what I would do, is I would first, you know, come up with a storyline about bullying. So maybe there's a kid that you fictitiously make up. You know, the kid's name is George, and, you know, you knew a kid named George, and he was being bullied, and, you know, he was a nice kid, and he used to get good grades, and now, a year later, he doesn't get good grades or whatever. You know, come up with a storyline. But here's the thing. Anytime that you're writing for copy, and a lot of you guys probably already know this anyways, so this will just be reiterating some things for you, but repetition is the mother of learning, right? Problem, agitate, solve. Define the problem, which is bullying. Agitate a little bit in your story, meaning, you know, doesn't it hurt? You know, I know it hurts as a parent to see your child defenseless against these, you know, bullies and not knowing what to do and, you know, that type of thing. And you can agitate a little bit more than that and then solve it. Now, if you don't want to write this, I would farm it off. And here's a couple of ideas that you can do. One idea you can do is you can persuasive copy written for bullies. Then you could go to Elance.com. You could go to Script. I think it's called Scriptlance.com, and you could post that you want a writer to write something and pay them to do it, and you can get bids on it and everything. You could go that route and pay to get it done. The other thing that you could do is that, you know, you could do some, have some of your students, some of your staff, do some research online and find out some information about bullies and, you know, just read some stories and get some ideas and collectively get together and put something together. Maybe do it at a staff meeting or something and get it all done at a staff meeting or pretty close to that. Another thing that you could do would be to, and I've done this not with this particular thing, but I've done this with other things, is a lot of traditional styles, I don't know about untraditional styles, but maybe you do this as well, will have different essays that have to be written at different belt levels. And you could make a requirement for students to do investigation on bullying and some of the tell signs on when somebody's being bullied, some of the ways that you can help prevent it, some of the ways that you can you know, see it happening and all this other stuff, and make it a requirement at a belt level. And then when you get a really good one, you approach them and say, wow, this is excellent, this is awesome. Do you think this is something that I could republish? And then take it and, there's some things in there that I want to take out of it and reword a little bit, but can I republish it? And just get them to write it. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't set well with you, but I'm all about delegation. And, you know, I've had students do similar things before, and I've always found them to be very happy that I used their information. One of my adult sales websites is basically a long-form testimonial with my 57-year-old second-degree black belt student who wrote about his why he started, why he thought he couldn't do it, why he was able to end up doing it, why he was, why he dropped 100 points in his cholesterol level, and just a whole bunch of things. And he wrote this for a black belt essay, and it was so good that I just asked him, can I put this on my website? He said yes. So don't think that you have to do it all. Some of these things, if you come up with some creative ideas, you could do yourself, you have somebody else do and say, you know, hey, can I use this? And most of your students will be really, really happy to let you use it. All right? So with that being said, really quick, let me just kind of recap. And the last thing is, you know, is the character development system that you use, whatever it is. If you're not using a character development system, you got to get some words of the week or words of the month or some way that you're educating them. Maybe you're doing it off the cuff. I would really push you to come up with some sort of system yourself or go out there and find a system, you know, however you want to do it. You know, like I said before, we use the powerful words, the Silverman's powerful words, but there's a bunch of other things that are out there as well. So with that being said, let me recap. Again, I give Hafner's book, one, because it fits my philosophy, two, because of the law of reciprocity. Next thing I give is 100 Ways to Praise Your Child. And next one is my profile. Again, it's not about, you know, all the tournaments and stuff like that that we've done. Next is the confidential fact sheet. Remember, in the confidential fact sheet, we want to solve or, you know, extinguish some of the problems that they may go home and have. They may be thinking, well, you know, what about this? And then you solve that problem in that, you know, in that writing. So some of the objectives that you believe that you're going to have or that you've had in the past, solve those objectives right in there in that confidential fact sheet. Next one is the teaching staff, so your academy's teaching staff, which, again, I gave you that. You can go to TriStarKarateBlog.com and then go to the archives, and then it's December 2006 in the archives. Harassing, the whole bully thing, I really personally, again, I think that's important to put in there. Now, with that being said, I know this was a really quick overview and a really quick teleseminar. If there's any questions that you have, you know, feel free to ask them. We'll open up the lines. I don't know if we already have some that are online right now. Kathy, do we have any?
We do have some questions online.
Okay.
And did you want me to read those to you, Dwayne?
Yeah, would you?
Sure. I just weed through them just a little bit. I think actually you answered some of these. One of them was from Chris in New Jersey. And it says, what do you mean by class breakdown? Time for each class or how long each class area is addressed in each class?
What I mean by breakdown is, you know, is it age specific or is it belt rank specific? Is it, you know, so you could say, you know, we structure our class by age and by belt ranking, or we structure it by belt ranking, or, you know, that type of thing. Because, you know, some of the problems that I've seen or the objections that I've seen is, you know, parents not wanting their 5-year-old or 4-year-old in a class, or even 3-year-old for that matter, in a class with a 12-year-old. And, you know, that can be an obstacle to overcome. And so if you address that, you know, up front, then that's not something that has to be, you know, it's not something that's underlying, it's already solved. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And this whole packet is all about pre-framing them. Pre-framing them on your ability to be able to teach them or their kid, whoever it is, you know, whether it's an adult or a student, or adult or a child. You know, I don't know what everybody's charging for their program, but right now my program is at $169 per month. That's our base program. And so when you come in, and I've got to build this thing up so that they think that $169 is nothing. They're thinking when they come in and I tell them the price actually at the first intro, you know, because they don't get the price until the first intro. And I'm not 100% with that because there are some times that they get it out of me, but, you know, and I will give it. I won't hide it if they ask for it. But anyways, that being said, I've got to build up this momentum. They're going, wow, you know, he gave me a book and there's all this information. They sound like they're pretty reputable. They've already solved some of my problems where I've had this question and that question. And so we really want to, you know, just deliver the highest quality program that we can. And it's not blowing smoke. I mean, you got to have the program to back it up, but I think it's highly important to do that.
Okay. Thank you. We have another question online from Ed in Oakview, And he just wants to confirm that when you say confidential fact list, is that like an FAQ list?
Yeah, but I like to yeah, it is. It definitely is. But don't I personally would make it see if you say a frequently asked question page, it doesn't sound as appealing to read as when you say confidential fact sheet. Now that's what it is, but you know, again, I think the marketing side of it is, you know, let's make it sound secretive. Let's make it sound
So we'll read it. Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Bruce in PA, he says, Master Brumman, have you ever done a survey to determine what percentage of your new students consume what percentage of your packet? There's so much material in there, and I so often don't get a one paragraph handout read that I wonder how much is too much.
I think, well, here's the thing. I'm not going to I'm going to use myself as an example, and please forgive me because this is I don't mean it to sound like I got a big head here, okay? But I think, and we've talked about this before, Kathy, but correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of people attend the TELF seminars that I do because of all the content that I give. And there's a lot of stuff that I give, and it's probably more than they actually need.
Uh-huh.
But I get them to, because I give all that, I think I get them back. And just so you know, to be transparent with you, that's what I want you to do. I'll be totally transparent. That's exactly what I want you to do. I want to give you so much content. You go, wow, there's so much here. I can't wait till the next teleseminar. That's part of my marketing that I, you know, I'll be transparent with you. That's part of my marketing where I want to get you to consume what I'm giving you. And it's not that I'm trying to blow smoke. I'm giving you some valuable stuff, I hope, anyways. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep coming. And so I think that's the same thing. I really believe that. That's the same thing with your clients as they're coming in. You want to give them a lot of stuff. And I do ask them. That is the number one thing. That's the very first thing that I ask. Well, not the very first thing. When they come back, you know, how you doing? And then I sit them back down at the first intro. And the very first question that I ask them after I do the physical portion with their child is I ask them, did you get a chance to read the printed material that I gave you last time we met? And now I don't take stats with whether they read it or not, but just from asking that, 80% have read all of it except the book, and there are people that have actually started the book. You know, there's probably like 25% that actually start the book, which for me is good because when they do say that for me, I can say, yeah, you know, Keith Hafner, he's one of my mentors, and he wrote that book. So, and
by the same token, I think that's almost like a buying sign too. You know, like I'm really, really interested now because they've actually taken the time to do this.
Yes. Yeah. So I can't, you know, I can't give you an exact percentage, but just off the top of my head, that's, you know, there's a lot of people that read it. Now, that being said, it's usually the mother. It's not usually the dad. It's usually the mother. And so, you know, like with that bully harassing thing, I'm targeting mom to read that. I'm not targeting dad to read that. And I think everybody's found that to be true, that mom's usually the one that makes the decision. You know, dad, there are some dads that say yes, but mom's usually the one that makes the decision.
No, we don't like our babies bullied.
That's right. Do you think I answered the question?
I think so. Absolutely. I'm just looking
through
some of
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if it's good, they are going to read it. You know, if you really take time to write these good and consume them. And here's the other thing. When you write it, don't write it like your English teacher. I'm sorry if you're an English teacher or an ex-English teacher. Don't write it like your English teacher told you to write it. Write it in a way that is if it was a conversation. Don't write it like your English teacher told you to write it. Sorry.
Got it. Yeah, just like you're having a regular down-to-earth conversation, so they'll be more interested in it.
And here's the other thing. You know, here's a little tip. I do this. It is I do not write good. And so what I will do is I will speak it. I'll actually just sit and record it and start saying things and start recording things. And then now I don't edit it. I give it to somebody else. And, again, I delegate it and let somebody else edit it and go through and pick it out. For 3 years, I had my cousin working for me. and now she's in college, but I still keep her on staff, and I'll record things, and she's an English major, so that helps me out when it comes to actually getting the proper grammar and the spelling, which I'm terrible at. She covers that for me, but, you know, she'll go through, and she'll take what I have done, and then she'll type it all out for me, and then she'll send it back to me, and then I'll put it in the order that I want it in. So don't think that you have to physically sit down and write it. You know, have somebody interview you and get those ideas at least on a recording.
Well, that's a great idea, because that'll make it a lot easier on some people. So I know sometimes when you sit down to write something, you can get a little paralysis by analysis. And
absolutely.
And probably a little bit easier to do it that way.
Yeah, we all get overwhelmed. I mean, you may even have a student that would, you know, even a mother that would do that for free for you, you know. Or if you have a student that you have on scholarship that you're maybe scholarshiping some of their tuition, you know, maybe approach them and say, you know, I have a project that I need to get done. Would this be something that you would help me with? And if you're giving them part of their training, I mean, most people would be more than happy to.
Sure. I mean,
right,
I think
question.
Just most people would be happy to help out. Okay. Well, Mark in Hillsborough, he's asking just a little bit more specific on, would you give the packet to them and just let them read it, or do you sometimes like go over parts of it with them?
I do not go over it with them at all. What I do, and here's how I overcome the price question at the first consultation. All right, so you might want to write this nugget down. This is gold, in my opinion, anyways. But when I use their packet to draw on as I'm talking to them, because I want them looking and totally engaged. You know, that's why I give you a note sheet, because I don't want you checking your email. I want you writing things down. Now, I can't see you, so I don't know what you're doing, but you know, I can see my prospect in front of me. So there's things I'm drawing on that packet and everything. And I get them to look at it, and then at the end of my conversation, you know, I tell them that, you know, the next step here is to give Johnny a couple of introductory lessons and make sure that he is, make sure this is the right program for him. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go in the other office, and we'll find a time that works best for both of us. And then I'm going to write those times down on this packet here, and I'm going to give you this, and I kind of pick it up a little bit and tap it so they feel, they hear that it's kind of solid because the book's in there. Then I say, you know, I'm going to give you this packet this packet of information about our school. And they're usually thinking, oh, the price must be in there.
Ah.
So, yeah,
that's
I don't go
good.
Over that packet with them. Yeah, I don't go over that packet with them.
But at least you can dig
in
through it.
If they think the price is in there, you think they're going to open it?
I'd be digging through it in the car. That's
Next
a
question.
Great idea. Okay. Dwight from Miami wants to know, first of all, his voice is gone. That's why he's not on the phone today.
Okay.
He wants to know if you put all the documents in a single folder, or are they stapled together in one document, or are they loose, separate sheets? You know, what does it look like when you give it to them? And I think you sort of just addressed some of that.
Sure. It is loose. Everything is all single-paged. There's nothing, so, and no, I do not staple them together. So the very first thing I put up is the, that they see when, obviously the book's on top, but other than that, the, have you heard about the Dwayne Brumman's Trust in Martial Arts Teaching Staff? That is first. The, it's in bold and red, and then the subheadline is bold and blue, and everything else is black and white. That's on a white sheet of paper. The second thing I give them is the, and it's right underneath, you know, so the next in line is the 100 Ways to Praise Your Child. That is in yellow. The next one that I give them is the confidential fact sheet, and that's in black and white. And that's only one single page. That's not even double-sided. The next thing I give them is your child harassed by bullies, and that's in red, and it's front and back. Then the last, or the second to last thing I give them is the profile of me. That's one single page, and that goes in. And then the, for us, the powerful words, and that's double-sided. And then that's put next. And that's done on a white sheet of paper as well. So except for the last two, it goes, white sheet, yellow sheet, white sheet, red sheet, and then it goes white and white. And I'm not fancy. I put it in, I find what works best is those big manila folders, and you slide it right in that folder, and you can clip it closed, and it doesn't fall out. I've used before some of the white folders that you put in sideways, and it just doesn't hold a book very good. So that's how I do it.
Okay. How about one more web question before we shift over to the phones?
Uh-huh.
Bruce in PA has another question. He said, you know, now that he understands that you're giving them this packet on the first meeting or the first lesson, what do you give them after they join?
Well, they get a uniform, but I give stuff all the time. So, like, you know, when you come in for your consultation, you get this packet. When you come back for your first introductory lesson, I give you something else. And then when you come back after, you know, your second introductory lesson, that's when you sign up, I send you home with something else. And then I have two more private lessons before they actually get in another class. And every single time I give them a little bit of information. I want to get them used to consuming from me. And even in that information, I mean, I'm, you know, teaching them about, you know, consuming from me, teaching them about consuming from our blog, because that's where I do a lot of our communication through. So, all right. Well, I want to thank everybody. Kathy, thank you for helping me out. I appreciate it.